Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Into the near post and it's squeezed into the goal. And Scunthorpe have taken the lead in quite bizarre circumstances in the opening 2.5 minutes here. Corner taken, it's towards the edge of penalty, 6 yard box. Sol will jump, Taylor with a header,
yes,
and he's equalised! Lyle Taylor, the man in pink, brings Charlton back on level terms.
Get in there. There's a well-worked corner in the end for Charlton. Cullen just lofted it towards the back post. Headed down from Naby Sarr, and there's Lyle Taylor, that man, to head home against his former side.
Baby, I've lost you. But Taylor will retrieve it on this left-hand corner. Taylor taking on Good into the penalty area. One way, then the other. Back to Aribo, takes a shot.
That's it! Come on!
Joe Aribo stabs it towards the goal, and Charlton 2-1 up.
Oh, they really don't like the Lyle Taylor attacking the penalty area in the left-hand side. Every time you can hear the fans screaming, get him. They're laying him into the box. His little toe-poke cross was a toe-poke finish in the end from Aribo. And he hit a defender on his way. It might even end up being an own goal, but Aribo's going to claim it. Oh, and Charlton, after going down early doors, are ahead.
A little short corner this time, swung in, cleared away by Bratley, over to the edge of the area, Jackson with a shot, oh it's gone in! Did that take a deflection? I didn't see it, maybe it did, but it sailed over Jed Steer, and it's now 2-2.
Oh, the frustration for Charlton. It's been a strange first opening so far. The Addicts have looked so good going forward, but defensively from corners looked so poor. Taylor, reverse ball towards Grant. Grant gets under control. Grant with Aribo in the middle. Turns. Grant still. Grant should have passed, and it's a save by the goalkeeper. Grant, had he got his head up and passed to Aribo, it's 3-2. Throws down the line, headed away by Solly. Comes to Taylor. Taylor holds the ball up well for Charlton. Ball across the dig, shields a little bit of a hospital pass. The Borthwick gets Jackson, gets the ball first. Humphreys back to Borthwick. Jackson with a chance, and he scored. And Scunthorpe are somehow 3-2 ahead. The ball given away by Lyle Taylor. Borthwick Jackson won it initially, got the return off Humphreys, and a lovely finish past Steer. And I don't know how this scoreline is what it is, but it is. There is the half-time whistle. An absolutely bemusing first 45 minutes here at Gladford Parkway. I have sent Pearson, Sarah. Instead, they pass it short to Aribo on the left-hand side. Aribo with Fossey on the overlap. Aribo, ball in the box to Taylor. Taylor back to goal. Still with it, Lyle Taylor comes to Aribo!
Yeah! Aribo!
It's 3-0! Joe Aribo equalises again for Charlton. There's a lovely worked free kick as Cullen passes short to Aribo. Aribo inside to Taylor. Aribo continued his run. It was well held up by Lyle Taylor. And Aribo gets his second of the night. And it's 3-0. Come on!
Oh, it's super again. And we all were expecting Fosser to hit it and hit it hard. Instead, it went to Aribo on the left edge of the penalty area. He found Taylor in the box. Aribo kept his run going. Taylor found him. And he just slotted it past the helpless Fonwick. What a lovely footballing goal that is. Still in the danger area with Ojo. Cannon's off. No, you can't give that. No, why? How can you give
that?
That's
so harsh.
Ojo just slammed it into Pierce's body. It's in his arm. There's no way he could get out of the way of that.
That is so, so
harsh.
How
can you give that as a penalty? That is a disgrace.
He is, I'm not exaggerating, he is next to Ojo when he kicks that.
Penalty about to be taken now. Taken into the top of the net. Buried by Morris. It's Dundalk now 4-3 up.
Well, Charlie to respond again.
Aribo trying to find space to shoot with his right foot. Instead picks out Dick Steele.
That's
a
penalty.
Down in the box.
Oh, referee!
Nothing given.
Oh my word,
nothing
referee.
Given. Clearly pushed over. Ball out on the Charlton left-hand side. Reeves tries to get the tackle in, doesn't make it. Sunthorpe attack. We've got two against two up here. Ball out to the right, and Dale's ball into the box. It's into Humphreys, and he finishes. And that should be game over.
Not to be for the Addicts today. Scunthorpe have come away with this with the points. Charlton will be so frustrated with themselves. Conceding 5 goals away from home is never good, especially in the circumstances of Charlton.
And there is the full-time whistle, and I'm afraid Charlton on this occasion couldn't come back from the dead.
Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is The Big Match Preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio as we look back at the defeat at Scunthorpe and ahead to Saturday's home game with Coventry City is Mr. Lewis Catt. How are you doing, Lewis?
Yeah, good, Louis. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. I'm recovering from being at that game up at Glanford Park. 8-goal thriller. But unfortunately, 5 of them winning on it, and therefore we lost the game up at Scunthorpe on Tuesday night. We're going to hear on tonight's show from Lee Bowyer straight after that game. We're going to hear your three-word reviews of the game. We're also going to talk about Lewis Page, unfortunately suffering an injury. We'll have a little bit of a chat about Bowyer being nominated for Manager of the Month and the latest fans forum meeting where some more Belgian waffle came out, RE the takeover. Then we will look ahead to Saturday's home game with Coventry City. We're going to hear from Sideways Sammy, who's a Coventry podcaster, lets us know how the Sky Blues have been getting on. Then Lee Bowyer again will give us an injury update ahead of the home game. But obviously there, Lewis, we just heard the highlights of the defeat. I mean, it was one hell of a game up at Glanford Park. I mean, you never saw that coming.
No.
And unfortunately, with the team that came out the wrong side of it.
Yeah, it was a really bizarre game, wasn't it? And to be honest, defensively, we were just all over the shop. Whether losing Lewis Page early doors sort of spelt that out for the rest of the game. You know, we had Solly playing out of position and Dick Steele coming on for sort of probably more minutes than he's actually played all season. I think, yeah, just defensively it wasn't there. I think we said off air, we looked really good going forward. You know, some great goals. All 3 of the goals are really impressive. I just think defensively we weren't all there, and that obviously cost us the game.
Yeah, 7 goals in 2 away games we've conceded now this week, which obviously is going to be a cause for concern for Lee Bowyer. I mean, you mentioned Pagey going off, but the first goal even happened before that. I mean, it was a corner towards the near post, touched home at the near post by Charlie Good. But even then, I mean, that just sort of set the tone for the evening for the defending from both sides, really. I mean, a corner at the near post, I mean, it's a weird one. It shouldn't have got beyond Solly, perhaps. He managed to get underneath it, unfortunately. Maybe Saar got the wrong side of the defender. Maybe the keeper could have come out because it was so close in. But like I say, that sets the tone, really.
Yeah, it just seemed like on the first goal, there seems to be a bit of a lack of communication, really, between Steer and Saar. Like you said there, it's got its way past Solly, but then you're expecting Saar then maybe to at least stick a foot out and try and get rid of it. But it just seemed like everyone sort of stood still, and before you knew it, it was in the back of the net. And, you know, when you go down that early doors, I mean, we did quite well to get back into it straight away, but obviously it's not good, is it? Especially when you're watching it on iFollow. And you've just paid £10 and you're 1-0 down within a couple of minutes. It's not ideal.
Yeah. Well, at least you didn't travel all the way to Scunthorpe.
That's true.
1-0 down within a couple of minutes. I mean, like, we did react to it, and I think you would have seen it on IFL. Like we said, going forward, we looked a really sharp team again. I mean, a couple of decision-making incidents, which we heard later on there with Carl and Grant when he went through 1-on-1 when it was 2-all and had to square for Joe Reba, but didn't. But, he was a player who was very much involved with some nice flowing football that we had going forward. The likes of Taylor getting involved. Taylor was scaring the life out of their right back down the Charlton left-hand side, getting into the area. He scored a good goal with the header, good assist from Naby Sarr. You know, going forward, we looked like we were going to score every time.
We did. We looked extremely dangerous. I mean, like you say there, Taylor, their defence are petrified of him. And I know he played for them. Whether that was why they were booing him for most of the game, I'm not sure.
I think he gave it a little bit when he scored, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, he has proved, not just on Tuesday night, but in other games, that he just has that. His work rate is through the roof, and that petrifies defenders because he can run at you as well. I mean, we're so used to having these hard-working strikers that don't score, don't run at defenders. They're more of like the hold-up player, but Taylor seems to have all of it. And him there, he can do that, but it brings those others into play. I think Carlin really thrives off playing alongside him. Yeah. And I think that Aribo is really thriving having him alongside him as well. Having Fosu back as well. I mean, Fosu is really creative. I didn't think he had his best game on Tuesday night. But I think he looked fairly decent. But having someone like Lyle Taylor up top, he just brings so many more people into the game. And all the goals were great team goals. I mean, both of Aribo's goals, the football was really, really nice.
And
really,
of course,
nicely played.
Taylor was involved in all three of them because he scored the first after Sarr's knockdown. He were set up Aribo for the second and for the third. I think the Scunny defenders probably dazzled by the pink Barnet approaching them. Good to see Joe Rebo getting in the goals. He had a couple last season, a couple on the night on Tuesday, his first two of the season.
Yeah, it is. And you know what? Joe just seems to mature game by game. And he's just got this way about him where he could be under a lot of pressure and he just finds his way to get into these tight spaces and manage to work away with the ball. But they just play really nice, sort of tight-knit football between him and Taylor for both of the goals. And it was really impressive. And it's maybe now he's got those two, he's going to kick on and get a couple more. But he's a really dangerous player. I mean, we saw it last season as well. All the goals he scored, they are quite impressive in terms of bringing the way that they come about and the way they bring people into play. I remember his goal at home to Blackpool last year was another really impressive one. And he's got it in him. And I think that, a solid run in the side now, people look at him as a very important player. And having Lyle Taylor up there to sort of feed off of as well is really helping his game.
Obviously, in a game that was always going to be decided by tight margins, just whoever could score the most, it seems. I mean, we did concede goals at bad times, so it's not long after we'd taken the lead, only 8 minutes later, that they were level. Bowie was talking today that he felt that Carlin Grant was defending the wrong man when the corner came out and his shot took a deflection. Not so much Steer could have done about that. I mean, we're talking about Steer again off air. I mean, he's I've seen the debate raging on the forum, the Phillips versus Steer, because it's always going to be controversial after Phillips was dropped for the lonely Jed Steer. I mean, how do you think he performed on Tuesday? Do you think he's, because I've seen some people saying that they felt he was at fault for a couple of goals, but I mean, that would add a deflection. I mean, maybe the first one, like I say, he could have come out towards the corner, but he was let down by men in front of him as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like you say, the first one, he could have come out, yes, but I think there was just a bit of a breakdown in communication between Naby Sarr and Jed Steer. Second one takes a deflection, and then you're looking at a penalty that was harsh. You're looking at a goal at the end that maybe the cross shouldn't have come in, and the fifth goal especially.
Even the third one, he didn't have much chance because it was basically a mistake from Taylor. I mean, just before, like we said, just before we had the third goal, which was 8 minutes after they made, I mean, there's goals every 5 minutes, it seemed. We did have that chance where, again, Taylor slipped through Grant, and he did so well to cut inside. And I guess he's thinking, I've done all the hard work here. I'm the man who's made the run and cut inside. He's thinking, I want this one. So he either hasn't seen Joe Rebo just completely unmarked on the penalty spot just for a tap-in where the keeper would have been out of position, or he decided to have a pop. And, you know, we've seen it a couple of times this year. It's not like Carlin's not creating goals for others at the same time. Don't forget, I think 4 out of the 6 that Taylor has scored have been created in part, at least, by Carlin Grant. So it's not like he's not ever doing it. It's just in this specific moment, he missed a glaring easy pass, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've said it before with Carlin, I think he just saw the headlines. He'd done the hard work and he wanted to get the goal. But yeah, he has been creative this year and he's been unselfish in games. And I think it's like you say, he's young still. So the decision making, you know, if he's a couple of years older, maybe he does square that. It was hard to tell, really, if he was sort of looking up when he managed to get round. I think he was sort of surprised he got himself in that position, whether he wasn't really paying attention to what was in front of him in the box. He was just looking down at the ball. But you know, obviously Arriba wasn't very happy with him, was he? But, we move on. He's had a really good season so far, Carlin. So I wouldn't want to judge him on that one decision on Tuesday night, because, like you say, he's been far more creative this season and provided a lot of goals for Lyle as well.
Yeah, so not long after that, when we could have gone 3-2 up, it was a mistake, unfortunately, from Lyle Taylor, who had also had a good game. It's just the way it was going, gifted the ball away. I think Dick still perhaps wasn't aware that Borthwick Jackson was right behind him, but the scunny fullback nipped in, got his toe onto it, played the 1-2, and then got into the air and scored his second ever goal. The one he scored from to make it 2-2 was his first ever goal. There was actually a bit of a lull in the 5 or 6 minutes before half-time. Then we came out and, again, there was chances. We saw Fosu have that one that hit the post. I mean, he couldn't get much more unlucky. You think about Luton last week, they hit the post and it fell straight to one of theirs. But unfortunately for us, it came out. But then we did score a really well-worked goal again, Taylor involved. Again, Aribo. Passing and moving. You pay a pass into the air and then run. It's very hard for your defender to track that. And that's what Joe Aribo did. And it was good little intricate passing inside the area from Taylor into Aribo. A nice little finish.
Yeah, I think he did really well to get the shot away, because it was a bit of... It's one of those sort of scrambly things. I mean, the pitch as well, I don't think contributed. It was quite bobbly. When I was watching that goal especially, as it was working its way into the box, it was bobbling about a lot, and he managed to get it under control. I mean, you know, you can imagine him sort of skewing that wide. So I think he did quite well to get that, to get enough on it to sort of creep it in at the
And again,
the left
now
corner.
We're talking about fine margins and what's happening at exact moments in games. This is when we've just got back into it. You're thinking, right, now can we start to push for a win? And then there's the penalty against Jason Pearce. Now, the ball was over on that far side. Ironically, actually, it does appear that Lee Novak handballs it in the build-up. While the ball's in the area, it does seem to hit his hand. And that looked more like a little bit of control than what Page did, than what Pearce did. Now, what Pearce has done is, you can argue, like we spoke to him after, he said, my hands were by my side. I mean, if your hands are behind your back, it's never going to hit them anyway. But, I mean, it's so close as well. There's no way he could have got his hand out of the way. It's just whether his hand was there in the first place. But I mean, do you think that was a penalty?
I think it was harsh. I mean, I think if it was the other way, it would. I think if it was us having that shot and it had hit a Scunthorpe player, I don't think he'd have given it. I don't know why. I just think it's our luck with officials. But like you've said there, maybe when it gets to that position, I think Pearce has got to think he could sort of smash this at me and hope for the best, or he could try and drill across in, or it's or whatever, and it has this risk of hitting his hand. But when you're that close and it's all happening that fast, it's really hard to react. But I mean, the ball, his hand does sort of creep out a little bit, whether it's deliberate or not, I don't know. I think it's just more balance.
There's a whole lot about the rules now about movement has to be deliberate to the ball, but then do you argue then that if his hands were already out, then he's deliberately making himself bigger to block? But if his hands are by his side, that's sort of... But it's such a tough one, but the referee's given it. I mean, Bowyer's not happy. And Piercy's certainly not happy with it. So,
it's not like he's standing there doing star jumps or anything, is it?
But then, 5 minutes later, Lee Novak was doing star jumps inside his own penalty area as Dick Steele's run past him. He's gone across him. Now, there's certainly contact. I mean, Dick Steele's gone down with some force. He's certainly thrown himself to the ground, but there's contact as well. And the whole Charlton bench wanted a penalty there. Was that a penalty for us? Have we been mugged off again?
It was a hard one to call, because I mean, I think he did go down a bit soft, but. I have seen them given, so I think.
I mean, there's certainly enough contact to say that if it was outside the area, then you'd probably give a foul.
Yeah, I think that that Bowyer can be unhappy about that, to be honest, because we're calling the Pearce incident harsh, and I think if that guy goes down, then maybe you do, you know, we call that harsh as well if we do get the penalty from Jick still hitting the deck, but. It's the odds of our match official, you know, the match officials that we seem to end up with. It just never seems to go on our way.
But. Yeah, so obviously the fifth goal comes on the break for Stephen Humphreys right at the end there. Charlton had pushed everyone forward and it was just a case of they picked us off and a low ball across the face of goal, touched in at the far post. I mean, you're kind of expecting that when you're pushing for a leveller. So, you know, we take the defeat, unfortunately, in the end. There were, you know, numerous opportunities where it could have gone the other way for us. Unfortunately, it didn't. Now, let's put it into context. It's our first defeat in 7. Obviously, we've come off now a run that included 4 wins and 2 draws. Overall, and it's a game where going forward we've looked good. I mean, we know that you can't go away from home and concede 5 goals whichever way they come.
No, absolutely.
So, but overall, I mean, we just got to try and take this one on the chin now, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it was a bizarre game, wasn't it, from start to finish. So I think the positives, we scored 3 goals away from home. should we, you know, it's hard to take when you've scored three away from home and you still haven't taken the points with you, but we've managed to score three good goals away from home. We looked really threatening going forward. We've got players coming back potentially, so defence hopefully is going to shore up a little bit, and you know, on to Saturday. But like you say, first defeat in seven is not, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. Right, let's hear what Lee Bowyer made of the game afterwards. We'll hear your three word reviews of the match as well. But I spoke to the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, after the match, and this is what he had to say.
I suppose you could say it was a good game for the neutral. Horrendous game for myself watching. We give them four goals. First half, just not good enough, you know, defensively. Every time we went forward, we looked like we was going to score first half. Created chance after chance. But overall, just not good enough. We have to come in and win after watching them. We have to win this game today, and I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened apart from just poor defending and just switching off. So whatever way you want to dress it up, it wasn't good enough.
Do you understand why your side was so poor defensively this evening?
I don't know, because we ain't been like that before. How many goals did they score from set plays? Two, three, and a penalty. It's a yard away, and he's running out to block the shot, and then the fella's chipped it up and it's hit him on the arm. Like, it's a yard away, you know. It's crazy. He's hit it 100 mile an hour or a yard away. Like, he's not blocked. He's not done it deliberately. It's crazy, but yeah, it's disappointed. Disappointing, because this is definitely, for me, watching that game, this is 3 points dropped. We've got to be winning this game.
You mentioned the penalty against your side that looked a bit harsh at the other end. Anthony Dick still went down late on. I saw the entire Charlton bench was up appealing for it. Do you think you should have had one there?
Again, yeah. It's a penalty. He's took it round him and it's a foul. So, but for some reason, we ain't getting these decisions. And if anything, everything's going against us. I don't know. I don't know why. I think everyone can watch it and make their own minds up. On if you know the game, then you know if that's a penalty for them and if that's a penalty for us. But we just don't seem to be getting these decisions at the moment. I don't know why. Maybe we'll have to start asking the question. Because at the moment, it's not even, you know. But we didn't deserve anything from the game. Not with that defending. So, good luck to them.
Lee Bowyer there after Tuesday evening's defeat up at Glanford Park. I mean, clearly he felt that we should have had the penalty on Anthony Dickstall, and we shouldn't have conceded the penalty on Jason Pearce. So he made his feelings pretty clear there.
Yeah, I think he didn't sound very happy, did he, at all. But I think I agree with him. I think if he gives the Pearce one, he's got to give the Dickstall one. But it's sort of gone now, and I don't even know why I'm surprised when decisions don't go our way. So, you know, it is what it is. Like we've said, there's positives to take from it despite the defeat, and we move on to Saturday.
Yeah, Seb Lewis says 50 years ago next July they were able to put humans on the moon. Nearly 50 years on, why can't they have a system where teams themselves can ask for a review of a ref's decision at third, fourth or fifth tier of English game, not just an official in VAR calling for it? Because those two penalty decisions were laughable. I mean, obviously we still haven't got VAR properly in the Premier League yet. They trialled it at a couple of cup games, haven't they? So we saw it at the World Cup. I was a bit dubious of it at the start, especially when England kept getting screwed over against Tunisia. But as the tournament grew and you saw how it could be used properly, I actually thought it was quite good. So
yeah, I thought it was quite successful.
So, I mean, it'd be nice. I mean, obviously, they'd have to bring it into the Premier League first. But, I mean, do you think if we went to VAR, do you think that handball would have been changed over? Because if they look at it slowly, they're going to say, well, his hand's slightly out.
Yeah, they're going to. I think that his arm was out that So although it was slight, it was out enough to sort of, if it would have been reviewed by VAR, it would have been.
Yeah, because it was worse in slow motion as well.
It does, yeah, it does look worse in slow motion. So I don't think that would have made much of a difference, but I think it's still very, very harsh.
And obviously the Dick Steele one as well. Right, I asked for your three-word reviews of the performance in the game during the 5-3 defeat. Dan Gray said it was gutting, emotional and frustrating. Will Bolland says, we move on. Mike Collier says that 3 points stolen. Cliff says 35 more games, and then he adds, oh no, Carlin. Paul says, didn't expect that. And David says, unique, meaning weird. It certainly was a unique game. I was trying to think back to the last time we were involved in a 5-3. I can only think of three 5-3 games off the top of my head. So we had, obviously, Tuesday. We had a 5-3 defeat at Blackpool under probably Pardew, I think, in the Championship. And we had a 5-3 defeat at Highbury against Arsenal. They're the only three I can think of. So that's definitely the first 5-3 I've seen. So there you go. Right, obviously, during the game on Tuesday, sadly, just after we fell to a third-minute opener, we also lost Lewis Page to injury. We know he's been suffering with his groin over the last few weeks and playing on through injury. So we've got an update from Lee Bowyer today during press day on the state of Lewis Page's injury.
I don't know. Just come in. Obviously, everyone's come in a bit later today, so I'm going to speak to the physio properly. But yeah, Lewis Page, we knew that we were just trying to hope and get to this international break, and then he'd have had a couple of weeks rest and we'd have probably got him back to a much better condition. But that's the only one position that we don't have cover. And Naby was his cover, but obviously we've lost two centre-halves, so Naby couldn't even cover out there. He had to play centre-half, and that's just the way it was. But Paige, you felt all right before the game. He said, like, it feels okay to go and play, and unfortunately for us and for the lad, that he picked up the injury.
So there we go. Doesn't sound too promising. I mean, Bo said on Tuesday evening that something had popped in there, which sounds painful.
It does, yeah.
Yeah, especially in the groinal area. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously disappointing. Paige's had his injury problems, but he's looked good so far this season, so he's going to be a big miss for us.
He has. It's really nice seeing him get a consistent run in the side. I mean, he's sort of, he's something about him that I just prefer, even to Jada Silva. I think he is a Charlton player, if that makes sense. I just think that he's someone that all the fans can really like, can really adore, and I think he's been really good so far this season. He's had his injury doubts, and every time he's had them, he's come back. I mean, you got to look at last season when he'd been out for the amount of time he had. He got injured up at Blackpool on his comeback, and then comes back in the side on the Saturday and pings an absolute worldie against Plymouth. And then this season, he's had his opportunity to have a consistent run in the side, and I think he's been one of the outstanding performers so far this season. His assists, what he brings into a game with his crossing and everything like that, I think he's been really good, and I really hope the injury isn't too serious, because like Bowyer's touched on, we haven't got any cover there, and I think previous seasons we've had Jada Silva and Pagey sort of being the cover, and sort of going back to when we had Adam Chickson and Jada Silva the season before that. I mean, we're really light on the ground there.
Yeah, I mean, how do you see it going? Because obviously Naby would be the cover, which isn't less than ideal anyway, because he's not a natural left back.
No.
And I mean, Solly went over there for the majority of the game on Tuesday. I mean, he did that for a long spell in the Championship under Powley, when we didn't have a spare left back at the time. He played a long time at left back, but you'd rather he was on his more comfortable side, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the worrying thing is there is, obviously, we're sort of all sweating on whether Christian Billick's going to be available Saturday. Fingers crossed he is. I think something's come out today that he might be, which would be good. But I think the only way around it, I was thinking about this earlier, and I know we were talking about it this morning, is you'd have to you either play Stoddy there and keep Jigstill there, or I was thinking you could go back to five at the back, play Jigstill as right wing back, and then bring in maybe Marshall if you had to, because I know he played there pre-season, but he wasn't convincing. But then it's clutching at straws. I mean, ideally, Billick will come back and Naby can go out on the left, but we'll have to see. You don't want to rush Billick back either, because he was impressive straight away. And if he gets injured again, then we're in more trouble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we'll find out, I guess, on Saturday how we're going to line up with Pagey now out for a few weeks by the looks of it. Right, let's have a quick break here on Charlton Live. We'll be back in 30 seconds.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Back inside it comes to Reeves. Instant ball into the box. Taylor's there. So is Vitticelli. It drops to Grant.
Yes! Come on!
Has buried the goal that could give Charlton the 3 points.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live, the big match preview here on Maritime Radio. Louis Mendes and Lewis Page in the studio here at the Valley. Lee Bowyer's actually been shortlisted for the Manager of the Month. Mm-hmm. Took 13 out of 15 points during September, so he's on there, joining Doncaster Rovers' Grant McCann, who also got 13 out of 15. Kenny Jackett from Pompey and John Coleman from Accrington Stanley have both had good starts to the season as well. I mean, it's not. I think that's Bowyer's first nomination for it, since he obviously hasn't even been a manager that long. First time we've had a Charlton manager nominated for it for a while, I imagine. I can't remember if Carl ever got one. Not sure. Certainly not getting any at the moment. But,
no, definitely not.
People joke about the curse of it and stuff, but it's nice to see Bowes recognised for the good job that he's doing.
Yeah, it is, especially when he's only really, well, recently been made a permanent appointment. It's nice to see that he's been recognised for the effort that he's doing, and the job he's doing is absolutely sensational for, you know, everything that's going on around the club. I mean, there's so much negativity with everything else. The actual football and everything is going all right, and it's nice because these away games and everything. I know at home it's a little bit different because people want to stay away and stuff. But at the away games, I feel like the support this year has really ramped up. I feel like the numbers on the away games have been incredible.
Mm.
I mean, I'm not sure about Scunning on Tuesday. That's a long way to go on a Tuesday night. But Luton and Southend and all that, they've all been really well vocally backed. And I think that people are really buying into what Bowyer is doing, and they're really backing him. So yeah, it's nice to see it recognised. He deserves it.
And obviously, how you react to defeat as a manager as well is something quite important. So now it didn't have to do that too often last season, only a couple of times towards the end of the campaign where we lost games. So now how you react to that, it's another new experience and a new test for him.
Exactly. Yeah, it'll be really interesting to see how they come off the back of Tuesday. I think home as well, he'll really want to go for it. Against Coventry, so we'll see. You know, it's something to, like you say, it's gonna test him. It's something he's not had to do too regularly. And the last time he's really had to look at that is when we lost to Peterborough, and off the back of that defeat, we didn't do too badly. So hopefully, the guys have got the character to get back to winning ways on Saturday.
Yeah, and obviously being backed up by Johnny Jackson as well is nice. You know, two Charlton legends working together, both cutting their teeth as well.
Exactly, and it's just what people will buy into. Like, Johnny Jackson is a club legend, and as is Lee Bowyer. So when you've got those guys down there, they're going to be well backed by everybody. And I think it's nice to see. It's something you really don't see that often nowadays, because you know young English coaches aren't really getting the chances they deserve, and it takes coming down to this level to get that. And when you put in people like Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson in charge of a club where they're adored by the fan base, I just think that everything will click into place, and it just seems like it is at the moment, and it's great to see.
Do you believe in the Manager of the Month curse? Because I mean, there's a thing. it's already taken hold. We've already lost. We haven't even won it yet.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe that was it. Maybe the nomination thing was the curse. And I mean, there's a bit of stiff competition in there, isn't there? I mean, Donny have had a sensational month as well. So I don't know. I'd like to see Lee Bowyer win it because I think he deserves it. But I'm not sure if I believe in the curse or not. I mean, I'm thinking back. It is the unknown thing, isn't it? It always seems to happen. Whenever we win it, which is rare, we do seem to go on a bit of a barren run.
Yeah. So I assume that'll be announced tomorrow, Friday morning, because I think that's when it normally is. So hopefully we'll find out if Lee Bowyer has been successful in that. Now, also during the week, of course, there was a fans forum at the Valley on Wednesday evening. Takeover update, something we always look forward to. Levan de Turk, the representative of Roland at the club at the moment, represents the club in the takeover talks. His latest update is the Australians still have to lodge a few documents with the EFL, which has been the update for the last 6 months.
Aye, they've been that a long time.
Yeah. Now he said it's worth noting that the group is not now just the Australians, but it's the Australians and groups linked to the Australians. He goes on to mention there's a second party that apparently have been around for a while, that apparently now more active, hadn't seemed to have gone a bit dormant after a while. He mentioned there's up to three other parties as well. One that's already visited the club, but not from the UK, but a European, apparently. There's a fourth one that we're waiting for documents on, apparently. He said needs proof of funds and no NDA has been signed. And there's a fifth party, apparently, that's also have a meeting, but they've asked for time to make up their mind. He also mentioned about another party that was involved... but he said they blew their trust by tweeting a photo, and we all know that was Fawaz El Hazawi a couple of weeks ago when we managed to get hold of the tweet from Haseem Saif, and he said that ruined the trust, and therefore they won't be involved. So up to five parties now. It's like a
it's crazy.
It's like a party that everyone's invited to.
It is, yeah. I just need to hurry up, don't they? It's crazy. I mean, I'm quite relieved actually. They sort of stuck to their gun on this, on the NDA agreement, especially with Fawaz, because that would have just been...
Well, yeah, I'm glad I'm glad it's for him. That is, exactly. The whole frying pan fire situation. Now, of course, the bit about the fact that the EFL was still waiting for documents. I mean, if the Australians just needed to submit some documents, there's absolutely no reason why they wouldn't have done that now. So, obviously, the reason is either they're having some sort of wobble on the price, although, I mean, we were told a while ago that supposedly a price was agreed, but sources have said since then that doesn't sound quite right. So either they're waiting on the price or they're waiting on investments to come in and make up their sort of money. And now LDT's there is implying that there's now new people involved in that consortium. So maybe they do have to. I mean, if that was the case, you'd expect if they're all ready to go, then they would submit the paperwork by now. So something's not quite right. It's not just the paperwork. I mean, the EFL have stated that they ain't sitting on any paperwork. We know they're not waiting for any. They don't have anything in hand that they need to deal with. They're waiting also for this paperwork, but obviously it's not forthcoming because clearly the Australians can't or won't do that at the moment for a couple of possible reasons.
Yeah, it's just an absolute mess. And I think, like you say, if the Australians were in the driving seat for so long, I mean, you know, we've seen them at the Valley parading scarves and stuff in the director's box and everything. If they were that much in the driving seat and that's that close, and they really wanted the club, and there's these other parties involved, you think they would want to get a wriggle on and get these documents in? So I don't think there's a huge amount of truth behind the documents. I think it's more that they're maybe waiting a bit more investment. I mean, we all know the asking price Roland's put on the club is steep for what it is, but that's my thinking. I think that they maybe are just a little bit stumped on the investment side of it, and they're trying to get something else in, and then they need to lodge some papers over to the EFL. So technically the EFL aren't really waiting for anything because they haven't got anything to give them yet. I think it's more at that stage, but I'd like to think that these other parties sort of knocking on the door would put a bit of pressure on them to do that, but who knows? I mean, it's going into the unknown, isn't it? I think, is the EFL, when's the meeting between Roland and the EFL?
They said early October, didn't they? So assuming probably next
soon.
Week.
So you'd like to think that something else may come out of that, but Roland's not entitled to say anything to the EFL, is he? And I don't think he will, so... we just got to see what happens, I suppose. I mean, we all thought it'd be done in May, and it's not done yet. Yeah. So
we all thought it'd be done in February at one point.
Yeah.
In the update from the club, it said on price, he doesn't exclude any party from initial conversations. He said he's open to listen to every proposal within the room that is set. So I mean, people will know what the price is or what Roland's asking price is. Obviously, that's up to them to negotiate. But that, a lot of people do think that may well be the thing that's stalling. And as you just mentioned there, I mean, he said with regards to the Fawaz El Hassal, although obviously he doesn't mention him by name, he's talking about the thing that went on Twitter. It doesn't look good for Fawaz's team.
No.
They've got this reputation as a bit of a haphazard outfit.
Well, it just plays the immaturity of... Was it Haseem Saif? Yeah. I know he had a very sort of similar reputation at Forest, because he, you know, it's just that classic thing, isn't it? The owner's your mate, and you get chucked in a job because he's your mate. I know we know that all too well down here. It's another one of those where immature guy puts that up and it kills the agreement. But it's nice, I suppose it's kind of reassuring. At least they were harsh on that and they stuck to their word with the NDA, because they could have, if they were desperate to sell the club, they could have just let that slide and we'd have been stuck with him, because I have no doubt that would have gone through a lot quicker than anything else.
Yeah, right. Richard Justin says that Ben Reeves started his career as a left back, so maybe he could fill in if we're desperate times and desperate measures. And Roger Trask, his free word review was bonkers, 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 talking about Tuesday's defeat up at Scunthorpe United. Right, let's have a quick break again. When we come back, we'll start to look ahead to Saturday's home game with Coventry City.
Cullen with this corner on the near side, love it to Pearce, yeah! Header! Oh, it's good header, and it's Bellick with the header. Thought it was going towards Pearce. It went instead to the Arsenal loanee, who's buried his first goal in a Charlton shirt, and Charlton now have a 2-1 lead with only 3 minutes left of normal time.
And they've been putting Southend under pressure for the last 2 or 3 minutes, and Cullen's corners all game have been excellent, but a lot of them have been deep towards the back post. Not that time, it was swung in hard and low towards the near post. Billick made a brilliant run, got away from his man and thundered a header into the near post. Oxley had no chance in the south end goal, and with what, 2.5 minutes left, Charlton have regained the lead, and lead here 2-1.
Charlton Live. So welcome back, this is Charlton Live, the big match preview. Let's start to gear up for Saturday's home game with Coventry City. Obviously the Sky Blues promoted from League 2 last season, so I got on to Sideways Sammy. He's a podcaster for the Sky Blues, real name Dominic Durams, who knows. So I spoke to Dominic to ask him how the Sky Blues have taken to life back in League 1.
It's been sort of a mixed start. There's been a couple of really underwhelming performances. I think Blackpool a few weeks ago was sort of the nadir, really. Sort of, they didn't really look to be much going on, but we've had a few really encouraging performances as well. So we beat Barnsley a couple of weeks ago. We took a really credible point against Sunderland last week. So I think we're still sort of feeling our way into the season. At the start of the season, off the back of promotion, I think expectations were that we might possibly go on to do something. But as the season's unfolded, and especially after losing Mark McNulty, who was our top scorer last season over the summer, that we're just not quite at that level to be sort of around the playoffs, and we're probably going to be the mid-table side, it looks like.
Yeah, I guess there's always a case after promotion that you're never really sure until you're probably 10 games in exactly how you're going to fare in the new division.
Yeah, and I mean, for most Coventry City fans, this is quite a weird feeling coming into a season after promotion. It's been 51 years since we last did it, so it's sort of alien territory.
Yeah, of course. I mean, so how do you sort of get your expectations in line? What were people talking about at the start of the season?
Well, just after we won the playoff final against Exeter right at the end of May, Mark Robbins was very clear that he expected the team to go out and win promotion. So that kind of set the stall out. We spent a fair bit of money over the summer. Most of it was reinvesting the money we got in for Mark McNulty. But we managed to hold on to Tom Bayliss, who is our top youth prospect, and already at League One level looks like someone who's going to be set for a big career. But I think actually, once we started seeing the performance of this team, it does look like a side still trying to get to grips with this level of football. So that has sort of tempered the expectations from earlier on, when we were kind of expecting that maybe having one promotion after so long that anything was possible.
Obviously, you got beat 1-0 at home to Portsmouth on Tuesday. I mean, what sort of performance was that? Because obviously Pompey are one of the teams that started the season really well.
Yes, it's kind of been a bit of a difficult performance from us, especially at home this far this season, where we've played some decent stuff but haven't managed to end up testing the opposition goalkeeper. We had one really big chance when the game was 0-0 when our striker, Johnson Clark-Harris, was clean through on goal and he just kind of snatched at the finish and it made it quite an easy save for the goalkeeper. And then just for half-time, we conceded what was admittedly a really good goal from Ronan Curtis of Portsmouth and we just couldn't get back into the game. We really struggled to score goals, really struggled to create chances. So we're kind of reliant on being solid defensively.
Mm. And what about Mark Robbins and the manager? Obviously, with the club having been on this downward spiral over the last few years to turn it around and to get a promotion last year, I imagine he must be pretty well thought of up at the Ricoh Arena.
Yeah, I mean, he's someone who just seems to make sensible decisions, just mainly just focusing on sort of the basic shape of the team and seems to be able to recruit pretty well in a transfer market and just bring in a bit of extra quality. I think sometimes he can be a little frustrating. He can wait too long to make substitutions and sort of it doesn't seem like the team has a big like attacking plan. We don't really set out to go and sort of press teams and entertain. We're very much sort of about being solid. So it's relatively mixed how he's viewed. Despite winning promotion recently, he does have credit in the bank, but you still get people calling for his head if we haven't won a few games.
And obviously, all this is going on still with the difficulties with Sisu hanging over the club. I remember the last couple of times that Charlton faced each other in League One, the two sets of fans got together to protest against their respective owners. I mean, that doesn't seem to have got any better. I was reading earlier today that the lease at the Ricoh or the playing at the Ricoh could be in danger again at the end of the season. So that's still going to sort of hold the club back, it seems.
Yeah, it's sort of because it's been going on so long that I think any hopes of sort of achieving something via protest has sort of dampened down. It looks like whatever Sisu want to sell the club for is just not going to be met by the market. They're holding on to the club for reasons unbeknownst to anyone who can reasonably make a guess of it. So, I mean, even with this lease thing, it's either you get really angry about it and nothing changes or just kind of shrug your shoulders and keep on going. And yeah, and I think sort of winning promotion last year has shown that they're not completely destructive. I think they just want to be very hands-off and leave the club to the football manager and not have to put too much money into it. So it's sort of, we're just sort of treading water, really.
Does it seem like there's still no way out at the moment, then?
No. It's utterly mystifying to anyone what they're continuing to hold on to the club for. I think one of the most mystifying things was about 5 years ago when the club went into administration and they bought it back. It seemed like quite a good moment for them to wipe their hands of it and walk away, but they wanted to keep it going for some reason.
Very strange. Now, getting back to the football, obviously, coming to the Valley on Saturday, I mean, who are the danger men? Who are the best players that Coventry have that the Charlton fans should be looking out for?
So, I mentioned Tom Bayliss earlier, who is just a very gifted footballer. Sort of came through out of nowhere last season and scored on his debut and hasn't really looked back from there. He's a tall central midfielder, can play box to box, very good technically, but can also get stuck into the challenge. At the moment, probably our biggest hope as well is Connor Chaplin, who we signed from Portsmouth. And even though he hasn't scored from open play yet, his sort of presence in the attack, he's quite a nippy striker and he's very good at sort of just playing quick 1-2s with his teammates, just increasing the urgency. He's got very good movement. So I think those two are being the main threats. We've also got Jody Jones coming back from injury, who was by far and away our star player and possibly the best player in League 2 last year before he got injured in November, he's a quick and skillful winger. And when he's come back the past two games, he's actually looks like he's got a football brain as well to go with it. He's sort of more deliberate than some of our other attacking players with how he chooses a pass, shot or a cross. So if he's available, he'll probably come off the bench, but he's someone who can make an impact on the game.
Thanks very much to Sideways Sammy there, Dominic, who spoke to me on the phone yesterday. Talking about Jody Jones there, actually, I remember seeing him playing for Dagenham against Bromley in a pre-season friendly, and he looked very impressive. He certainly was one of the better players in League 2 last season. I think he played for the 23s today for Coventry on Thursday, so whether he will be on the bench, I imagine, as Dominic said there, he'll be a player to look out for. Interesting season for Coventry. Obviously, they've come back up from League 2, you never really know what to expect. But they're still playing with this Sisu situation hanging over them, the same way that Charlton are playing with this Roland du Châtelet situation hanging over them.
Exactly. I mean, they obviously had a fairly decent season last year, getting the promotion straight back up. I thought they'd struggle with that, if I'm honest with you, with the whole ownership thing hanging over them and the drop to League 2 and what that entails. So, fair play to them in getting back up. Mm. Yeah, it's tough with them. Obviously, the Sisu situation is tough, and it's not nice to see that they're going to be under threat again with playing at the Ricoh at the end of the season. No one wants to see that for any football club. But you know, the foundations of the club are there. They've got an experienced manager in Mark Robbins, and he's been there for a little while now, so there's a bit of stability there. And they've got good players for the level. And you know, they've got Tom Bayliss, as he mentioned there, who's been getting critics sort of all week, sort of applauding how good he is and everything. So you got to hope that Cece doesn't do a Roland and cash in on him, as he probably will. We've mentioned Jody Jones, a tricky player. Sort of handy that he's probably not fit enough to start, especially if we're lacking on the wing. If he ends up playing right mid and you've got Naby Sarr trying to tackle him. they've not got a bad side. Clark Harris, I remember seeing him play for Rotherham, and he was quite a good player at the time. I think we were linked with him at one point.
Yeah, we were actually. Yeah. So a penalty against us once.
Yeah, maybe.
And then
we were
linked with him about 2 days later.
Yeah, like, yeah, sounds like that's our sort of scouting, doesn't it? That. Yeah. But good players. They've signed a Gogo. I don't think he's managed to sort of break into the squad yet. He was someone we were linked with in the summer, and we know was impressive with Shrewsbury last year. So the foundations of the club are there, and there'll be no easy opponent on Saturday, but. Yeah, like you say, the Sisu situation is sad, but we're in the same boat ourselves. So
it's the same as us. They've got massive potential, that club, because they've got a massive fan base, probably arguably bigger than ours, Coventry, and a big stadium, but unfortunately it's not theirs, unfortunately. So, difficult situation. Right, let's have a look ahead from a Charlton point of view. Obviously, Lee Bowyer had his press day today. The Addicts boss provides us with an update on the injuries in a minute. But first of all, he insists that we will see a reaction from his side to the defeat up at Scunny.
It's massive. No team wants to go and not win the game after you've just lost. But I know I'm going to get the reaction that I won on Saturday, I know that. I have winners in there, and it hurt them as much as it hurt me, and it's hurt everybody to do with the football club. And I've no doubt that come Saturday that everyone that comes to the game will see the reaction that we won.
On the subject of centre-halves, is Christian Bielik close to a return?
Yep, so Christian's training today, so is Ward. So then both back in training today. So Billy Clark's training full contact now. So he trained last week non-contact, but now he's back full contact today. So we've got Billy back and we've got Ward.
Has Christian got a chance for Saturday?
He'd be involved. He'd be in the squad. I don't think he'll start. I think the physio will go mad if I try and start him. Because at the end of the day, we have to try and look at the bigger picture, and it'd be silly of me to start him.
Good news on Billy Clark. How close is he to joining the squad?
No, Billy's a way away yet. He's been out for a long time, and he needs to get some 23 games under his belt. It's going to take him a while to get back to the Billy before the injury. He knows that, we know that. But to have him back in amongst us is a great thing for us and for him. So in training the other day, he obviously joined in, but non-contact, he's like a floater. And he's trying and trying, but he's giving it away, which he never does. it just takes time, you know. Like he wants to be the person he was, but it's just going to take time. Training and games, he'll catch up quickly.
You touched just now on the international break. Is that a good thing for you?
Yep, for sure. That'll give 2 weeks of Ward, Christian, to get training under their belts, and obviously they'll be going away international duty, so they'll might play a couple of 60 minutes or something. Hopefully they get some minutes under their belt. And so yeah, obviously gives 2 weeks for Paige to get further down the line, so there's less games that he's going to miss. So yeah, the international break is a good thing for us.
Was Lee Bowyer determined to make sure that his side bounced back from the defeat up at Scunthorpe on Tuesday, and then giving us the injury updates? I mean, first things first, I mean, we have sort of touched upon it, but it is, you know, don't want to get into a run just before the international break where you haven't won in three and you've lost a couple in a row. So it is a big game for us, really, on Saturday.
It is, yeah, and especially at home. I think he'll want to be going into that international break on the back of a win. So that's in the players' heads when they've got next week off. Obviously, we've got the game on Tuesday night in the Checker Trade, but I imagine there'll be a lot of players rested for that. We'll probably see a bit more of a 23 side probably for that game. And then obviously, like you say, we want to get that winning mentality back and take that into the international break, and then crack on again back at home on the 20th.
So looking ahead, Christian Billick is going to be back in the squad. Doesn't sound like he'll start to me, but I mean, Bowyer said that the physio would be very unhappy if he did. So, but good to have him back and an option from the bench at least.
It is, yeah. And I was really impressed with him in the games that I did see him. I thought he was really, really good up at Southend. And it'd be nice to have him back, like you say, as an option. Probably annoying that we can't start him, because I'm not too sure what we'll do about the defensive situation.
Mm. I mean, we've discussed a few options now. I'm guessing it is going to have to be Solly at left back, which is yeah, less than ideal, and then Dickstill at right back. I mean, Anthony Dickstill, young still. I think he'd prefer to play in defensive midfield, but he's played a lot of right back. I mean, do you rate him there?
I think I prefer him in defensive midfield, but I think he can do the job at right back when called upon. It'd be interesting to see if he can get a decent amount of game time under his belt, because obviously he had he didn't have a pre-season, did he? Because he was off ill.
Pneumonia.
In the summer with pneumonia. So he obviously lost a lot of weight and stuff like that. And Bowyer said he wasn't the same player at all over pre-season. So I think he's probably still playing catch-up a little bit. So it'd be nice for him to get some minutes and hopefully kick on his season.
Yeah, we now know that Darren Pratley, of course, is suspended as well, so he got a yellow card. He got 5 yellow cards in 5 games, which is an impressive record.
Predictable,
to be fair. Yeah, from his own run of games, he got all 5. So he's out now for Saturday. So Reeves came on. I'm thinking, because it was an away game, that Pratley came in to try and just add a bit of the bite to the midfield. So because it's a home game, we're going to be the one to try and open up. I imagine Reeves will just come straight back in.
Yeah, I imagine Ben Reeves will come back in, and Callan will probably sort of sit a bit further back. But it depends how we play it, I suppose. If we're going to go with a diamond, or if we're maybe going to go sort of a flat 4-4-2, maybe provide a little bit of help on the, especially on that left hand side. I mean, not best defensively. So yeah, Fosu on the left, he's not, at least just another body, isn't it, basically? If Solly gets caught, you've got someone else there to sort of trap back.
Yeah, because I guess there is some score of thought in Diamond, of course, you don't really have wingers at all.
Exactly.
And therefore your fullback's a little bit exposed at times.
Yeah, so I think we probably would benefit on playing some wider men, but we'll see how we go. Obviously, when we play the Diamond, it's really effective, but in the position we are at the moment with injuries at the back, I think Solly may need a little bit of cover on the left-hand side, but you don't know. We might sort of get through a half, and then he might bring Bellick on at half time or something, take Dick still off if he doesn't sort of last the 90.
Yeah, and obviously you're going to look at trying to take confidence in terms of the amount of goals we've scored over the last couple of games. Scored 5 two away games, and we're not struggling to score goals at the moment. We're playing some really nice, intricate stuff in and around the area. We look like a real decent force going forward. So if Coventry are going to come and sit back and make it difficult for us, you do think that we're probably going to be able to break them down if we can keep the ball moving nice and quick?
Yeah, definitely. We're more than capable of playing as well as we did, you know, going forward on Tuesday night. I mean, Coventry, they've not had the best season so far, very mixed start. So I think that, Carlin, Lyle, Tariq will want to sort of take advantage of that and try and get themselves on the score sheet. And, you know, we're going to want to be sort of doing teams over at home. So fingers crossed, that's exactly what we do.
Only one win on the road so far for Coventry this season. That was away at Oxford. Yeah, I know it's a tough place to go these days.
It is,
But they got a win there. They lost a couple on the road. Scored in their last few away from home. So it'd just be interesting to see how we take it on. Now, Nathan and Tom aren't here. So, Lewis, I'm going to let you have a think about the Jacko's jackpot bet. So if you got anything on the top of your head, or do you want to have a think about it?
You know what, I was thinking about this in the car, actually. I think, based on what happened the other night, I'm gonna repeat it and say we're gonna win from behind.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Coventry will go ahead early, and then we'll come back and win it from behind. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It'll be that, or we'll have a whitewash. Like you said, we're due to thrash somebody. So you know.
Right. As long as we go 1-0 down and win 5-1, I'll be happy. And we have done that, not exactly that, but we've gone behind and won on our last couple of home games as well. So hopefully that'll be the case, and we can win some money for the Charlton Upbeats. Right, we've pretty much run out of time here on Charlton Live, the big match preview. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday evening to look back at whatever happens against Coventry here at the Valley on Saturday, and then we'll have a week off next week because it's the international break for Charlton. We're going to have no big match preview next week, so make sure you join us at least on Sunday so you can get your final Charlton Live fix for a couple of weeks. Lewis, thanks for coming in this evening.
No worries.
You've enjoyed it. I've been Louis Mendes. Thank you for listening to tonight's show. Thanks for joining in with your tweets and stuff. I hope you've enjoyed the show, and we shall see you back here on Sunday evening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.